by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
All right. Good evening to our listeners. This is Lauren Schmidt with the Cayman Newsroom. Want to give an update on the fire activity that's happening just east of Carverville. I am joined with Lisa Music, who is on scene, but I do want to give an update that the fire is now 20 acres in size. At the bottom of the hour at 6:30, we were on with Supervisor Michelle Bushnell, who stated that residents on Lower Sawmill were actively being evacuated, and other residences within a 3 to 5 mile radius of Quarry Road, again, that's just up Alder Point Road near the switchbacks, should prepare to evacuate at a moment's notice. I did speak with CAL FIRE Humboldt Del Norte Unit Battalion Chief Jeremy Ward, who was on scene and confirmed that Lower Sawmill is being evacuated and that they were considering and assessing evacuating Wallen Road. Folks, so if you know anyone or you live on Wallen Road, please be prepared to go at a moment's notice. We have been texting with Sheriff Hansel, who actually just right now said they will be issuing an evacuation order for Zone 220B and a warning, an order for 220B and a warning for 220A. So folks, this is exactly why we're telling you to know your zone. That is HUM-E-220B, and that is just to the northeast of Garberville. The zone just to the southeast of Garberville, E-22A, will be having an evacuation warning. You can see that by going to humboldtgov.org and signing up, not only for emergency alerts, but seeing where your zone is. So that is about to go online now. Sheriff Hansel and the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office are just about to issue that order and warning. But again, we have been in touch with CAL FIRE's Humboldt Del Norte Unit and Supervisor Michelle Bushnell, who confirmed and are on scene saying that Lower Sawmill is being evacuated. And they're telling folks to evacuate via Upper Sawmill Road. You go up Upper Sawmill Road to Alder Point, and they're suggesting you take Highway 36 as Alder Point Road is currently closed. We do know that the fire has jumped both sides of Alder Point Road. Reportedly, one of the traffic lights that has kind of created a bottleneck in recent days is actually on fire. But that was a lot of information, so I want to go to you, Lisa Music, who is currently on scene.
Hi, can you hear me, Lauren?
I can.
Hi. Pardon the noise, guys. We have aircraft, CAL FIRE aircraft overhead working this active fire. The fire was originally started around 6 p.m., reportedly from a structure fire off of Quarry Road, just off of Alder Point Road, approximately 1 mile east of Alder Point, or of Garberville, off of Alder Point Road. That has been spread to vegetation, first with a rapid rate of spread. The word from Supervisor Michelle Bushnell is that it is now a moderate rate of spread. We have multiple CAL FIRE aircraft on scene, including 4 helicopters, multiple tankers, 2 spotter planes that I've been watching work this fire. The winds are not helping. They are picking up and pushing this fire. It has jumped Alder Point Road. For locals, it's in the area of the switchbacks, just before this construction work that is happening, just above the switchbacks. It jumped the road there, going from the north side of Alder Point Road to the south side of Alder Point Road, and is now threatening the Lower Sawmill subdivision. And again, even though this may look really remote, it is not. There are homes lining these hills. There has been structure protection already happening here. It is not confirmed, but I've watched some black columns of smoke happen along the advance line of the fire. So there may possibly be some outbuildings or some type of structure impacted from this. Again, lots of CAL FIRE support, lots of VFD support. Ground crews are here. CHP has blocked Alder Point Road at Redwood Drive, and they have notified us that, like you just said, Lauren, that anyone west of the fire needs to evacuate through Redwood, or through Alder Point Road to Redwood Drive, and from Garberville, find your way to a safe place. If you are on the east side of the fire, you have several options in order to evacuate. That would be towards Alder Point, out Blocksburg to 36, out Harris, Gulf Springs to 101, or up Alder Point to Dyerville and down to the Avenue of the Giants. And again, it's really, really important that you keep it tuned to KMUD, check in with those sources, sign up for those alerts, because if your area or your exit route are blocked, you need to know that as soon as possible. Property can be replaced, but your lives cannot. So please, please stay safe out there.
Absolutely. And Lisa, how would you say is the spread of the fire? I know it was initially stated that it was rapid spread, and now we're seeing moderate. Is that correct?
It is moderate. From where I'm at the corner of a Wallen Road and Alder Point Road, you can see some trees torching both at the original site. And again, this started on the north side of Alder Point Road, there by the switchbacks near Quarry Road, and has advanced southeast. Going from that switchback area across Alder Point Road, kind of up that hill, if you are familiar with the area. And again, CHP, California State Park, they are on scene telling people that have been here, I have permission from emergency personnel to be here as a reporter. However, they have been telling people that are watching from a distance to evacuate the area, that the winds are unpredictable, that they have shifted. Again, I've watched tree torching. This is a mix of grasslands and timber. And as you're well aware, Lauren, this heat wave has really impacted these fields and dried everything out.
Absolutely. And I saw that there are multiple CAL FIRE helicopters currently responding. Are there other volunteer departments currently on scene?
I have seen Redway Volunteer Fire Department and the Garberville Fire Protection District. A source has let me know that a second dozer has been brought in. I'm currently watching a tanker drop retardant on the northwest line. Okay. CHP letting me know not to hit them. So we're staying safe up here. You guys out there, stay safe and keep it tuned to your emergency resources. At this time, this is not a huge fire by any means, but it only takes a fire to be small and in your area in order to impact your life. So keep it tuned to KMUD and your emergency resources.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lisa. And I know Lisa will be going live on the Red-Headed Black Belt Facebook. We are going to continue to be with, stay in touch with fire personnel, Sheriff Hansel, Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. At 7:30, we'll be back with another update from CAL FIRE, Humboldt Del Norte Unit Battalion Chief Jeremy Ward, who is currently on the ground assessing the need for a possible evacuation warning or order on Wallen Road. Earlier in this broadcast, we spoke with Supervisor Michelle Bushnell, who suggested that anyone who is in the vicinity of Quarry Road within the 3 to 5 mile radius be prepared to evacuate at a moment's notice. Folks can download the Ready for Wildfire app onto their devices, where there's a checklist there. But again, this fire that is burning just east of Garberville is now 20 acres in size. Sheriff Hansel did state that there is no immediate threat to Garberville. You can go to the KMUD News Facebook page, where we shared Sheriff Hansel's text messages of the zones they were about to issue evacuation orders and warnings for. Again, we'll be back at 7:30. Thank you.
Okay, you are tuned to Redwood Community Radio, KMUD, Garberville, 91.1 FM, KMUE, Eureka, 88.1 FM, KLAI, Laytonville, 90.3 FM, at 99.5 FM, and Shelter Cove, live and on demand online at kmud.org. Donors to KMUD include Vocality, Community Credit Union, Growing Communities, One Voice at a Time,
Vocality now has two branches to better serve our community, located in downtown Garberville and on Perkins Street in the Pear Tree Center in Ukiah. For more information about financial counseling and banking services available, the website is vocalityccu.org. And views and opinions expressed throughout the broadcast day are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, or underwriters. Time will be made available for other viewpoints. Thank you for joining us, and looks like we're now ready to go to the Mateel Community Center, and they're having a board talk show here on our station. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Christy Augustine. I am vice president of the board of directors of the Mateel Community Center. And we are so excited to be here on KMUD, who we love so much, to talk about our upcoming events and things, especially Reggae on the River. We are very excited. But I have some things that I want to get to and talk about just before we talk about that. Just some things that are some ongoing things that the community should be interested in. First off, I want to talk about our public board meetings that happen every third Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. at the Mateel Hall. Sometimes it's at the office. We also make it available on Google Meet so that the public can join from a little more remotely without having to be there in person. And we really welcome the community to join in and give your public comment and just, you know, be involved with what we're doing and decisions that get made. So that's every third Wednesday of every month. It starts at 6 p.m. And you can find the link on our website to join virtually, or you can just show up at the hall. Next, we have some recurring events at the hall. We have a Get Fit Soham every Tuesday and Thursday at 6:30 a.m. You can join NASM Master Trainer for her branded new high-intensity results-driven fitness class with a unique variety of movements and exercises. Whether you need help with weight loss, putting on muscle, or just getting healthy, this is a great class. Contact Teresa Campbell at 916-201-4630 for more information there. We also have an open mic night every first Monday of the month, and you can just show up for that. That's a really fun time. You can bring your guitar or instrument and just have a good time. Let's see what else. And I think that's really all I need to say about upcoming events besides Reggae on the River. So I know that we just have a few more minutes, but I want to introduce Leo of Hot Milk Entertainment, who is helping us put this, who is our partner in putting on this event. So Leo, please introduce and talk more about yourself, and let's get into this awesome event that we are about to put on.
Kama and Mateel people, what's up? Let's see, where do we begin? Well, we've got the 3-week countdown, been super excited. Something that the whole Hot Milk team and Mateel's been extremely focused on for the last 6 months and a year and a half before that. It's been quite an experience leading up to this point. You know, we got a crazy lineup. We're super stoked. We originally started with something very small in mind to bring it back after 6 years, you know, after High Times had their shot. And the concept and the ideas just grew and grew and grew. And once we found out that everyone was aligned, you know, we really just went all in, and now we have the lineup that you guys see before you with Kali Buds, Anthony B, Conscience, DeMarco, Lila Ike, Capleton, Jay Boog, Stylo G, Luton Fire, Chuck Fender, Sister Nancy, Chesedek. I mean, it goes on. You know, I'm super happy with this lineup that we've been able to curate. With this time period is an extremely hard time period to book because there is 4 or 5 massive reggae festivals in Europe that happen on the same weekend. And I'm just super happy with the lineup that we were able to come up with this year. And I could go on and on.
Yeah, wow. It's the lineup is really just so jam-packed. I just like can't even believe, like I keep trying to pick what my favorite day is going to be now that the single day lineups have been announced, and I can't even decide. I'm like, oh, I think it's definitely no wait, yeah, like I can't. It's all so good,
for sure. You know, there's something for everybody. There's dance hall, there's modern roots, you know, and Sunday kind of has a I wouldn't go as far as say like a Cali Roots vibe, but you know, it's got those big acts like Kali Buds and Jay Boog that are just put on phenomenal big shows, and they've been huge stars for Reggae on the River in the past. I'm super excited. Me personally, I like everything from dub to sound system, dub plates to dance hall, modern roots, you know, so
same,
I really feel
same.
Like this festival encompasses all of that. You know, there's something for everybody here.
Agreed. Great. Let's talk about sorry, I'm saying too much. Let's talk about some sponsors while we have a few minutes here. There are a lot of sponsors, like a lot of sponsors. The whole community is really coming together for this festival. Everybody is so excited. So I really would love to just thank some of these sponsors. I'm going to read them kind of quickly because I want to get through every, I want to thank every person, you know?
There's a lot.
I hope I get every person, but here we go. Okay, we got Terp Mansion and Exotic Flavors, Proper Wellness, Weed Maps, Intense, Canifest, Phenotopia, Sticker Farmer Mendo, Clarkies, Cutting Edge Solutions, Embark, Humboldt Homegrown, Green Ox, Sticker Farmer Mendo. Oh, I said them twice. Sorry. Southern Humboldt Chamber of Commerce, Eel River Brewery, Gold Vibe Hard Kombucha, Stay Positive Sound, LG Productions, Epicenter Sound System, Humboldt Growers Network, Skunk Magazine, California Cannabis, Grove Bags, Crop Top Greenhouses, Rare Breed, Mendo Fresh, Good Vibe Tribe, Valley Farms, Royal Budline, The Fireplace, Ridgeline Farms, Royal Gold, Ukiah Natural Foods Co-op, Coast Central Credit Union, Eureka Natural Foods, Heritage Hash Company, Balanced Books and More, DJ Rundat Productions, Frey Wine, Mad River Brewery, Six Rivers Brewery, It's Alive Kombucha, Humboldt Distillery, Alchemy Distillery, Pascenta, Flor de Luna, Nice Up Radio, K-Mud, of course, Reggae Festival Guide, Free Up Clothing, K&B Elixirs, Dream State Solventless, Moon Valley Cannabis, Lion Bolt Farms, Terped Out Kitchen, Los Bagels, Shop Smart, our local grocery store. Thank you. They're always giving us things. Soham Community Farm, Humboldt Hippie Cup Coffee, Diesel Farms Organic Turkey, Rumiano Cheese, Humboldt Creamery, The Tofu Shop, and Eagle Rock Ranch. Like, wow, that list.
That's it. You know, what an amazing thing that everyone is excited, and it's like, you know, that this is being brought back, and it's, you know, it's not just by Mateel, it's not just by Hot Milk. There's so many people involved, and so many people are excited for this. And it just goes to show with that sponsor list. And it really, this year, it really came to me that when the term that it takes a village, you know, this is such a community thing, and it's going to be amazing. I'm excited.
100%. I just want to take a second to welcome Johnny B. He has just joined us from the board. Johnny, do you want to say hi and then tell us, you know, about how you're excited for the festival?
Johnny B. I think you're on mute.
Hey, I'm here.
I was unmuted or muted, but I'm unmuted now. So, hey, Reggae on the River, here we go. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Am I still unmuted?
No, we got you. We got you. So, Johnny, tell us like about yourself and on the board, like what you do and how long you've been on the board and your you know, maybe relationship with reggae. How many times you've been?
Well, I must say Reggae in the River started at my dining room table in 1983.
Yeah. Oh,
so that's a little bit of time involved. And yeah, I've been on various aspects of Reggae on the River from the very beginning, as you know, because we're all Matillites way back then. And that's what it was all about after the Fireman's Hall burnt down, is to figure out a way to bring the Matil alive and keep it alive. And Reggae on the River was spawned. And it's been an amazing journey, because the first show, people were so skeptical and everything that it was going to be a failure. And it was a failure, but it's planted the seed as far as monetarily, because we made absolutely no money. And we actually lost some money on that first year. So then it progressed from there to rock and reggae year two, which got a little bit better, but it was kind of weird, I must say. The music combinations of bands was a little strange. Then it went back to Reggae on the River, full reggae in year three. And then from then on, it's just been reggae and world music and just explosive concerts over the years that drew so many people. I mean, we've had over 10 to 15,000 people at French's Camp over the years, let the truth be known. So, and more.
Yeah, it's so important to have all this history, right? Like to just like have it passed down and to like not forget about, like, it's been this whole community coming together since the very beginning to come together and support each other.
Absolutely. All the nonprofits from various locations in Southern Humboldt and Mendocino, you know, we're all participating, making bank at the festival. And a lot of them got their yearly nut to survive at Reggae on the River every year. And it really, our economy was in town. Things were, you know, really rocking, and you know, people were happy when Reggae on the River came, because the motels, all we certainly need it. And Reggae on the River has really been an important part of our whole community over all these years. You know, even people who were naysayers in the beginning, they turned their head right around and did a full 360. Woo, yay, let's go.
So then, man, here we are,
anyway,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm excited about, really, is to see the community kind of get a win, you know, like to just kind of have a good week. I know it's been really hard for a lot of businesses. So I really am excited about that aspect of it as well. And to get all the vendors, you know, together and having a good day, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, absolutely. That was super, super interesting to hear. You know, it's, maybe you could elaborate just for a quick second what that conversation was like at that table when you guys first started talking about Reggae on the River in 83 or 84.
It kind of started with, you know, Rod and the Ideals, because Rod was playing all over, you know, at every little gig that popped up, you know, unless it was rock and roll or something like that. But he played rock and roll too, so he had many faces. But you know, at that time, it was like reggae was really like you know, catching fire here in you know, just in Southern Humboldt, because that's as far as we drew our, you know, for crowds on stuff, because there's a few good famous reggae artists that played at Fireman's Hall before it burnt down. But so anyway, to get back to the table, it was Shelby, Nancy Shelby, and Carol, my wife, and myself. We were all sitting down at the table talking, you know, what we could do to raise some money, because the, you know, the Matil they didn't have enough money. We didn't have enough money to rebuild. And that was the whole thing. Or we weren't, they blockaded us from building back in Garberville. So it just, we were talking, well, what if we did, you know, well, it wasn't me that said that, but it was Carol and Shelby together kind of said, what if we do a reggae festival, you know, we'll get some reggae bands and, you know, it's like, yeah, we'll just get them, you know, from somewhere. And then that just, the light went on and Carol just went right into it, started researching and getting, you know, finding out who was, I don't know how she did it, but she did it. And, you know, that first year it was the meditations and the ITALs and the Caribbean All-Stars. And it was a dynamite lineup back then. But yeah, that's how it started. It was just, you know, just out of the blue, boom, let's do a reggae festival. Or let's try and do a reggae festival. Because we had some money from the insurance, but no one wanted to touch that for a reggae festival. We had to get $5,000. I don't know how much money, but it wasn't that much then. But
not
it,
like
was
it was
enough
now.
To get the show on the road. Yeah. So, but anyway,
That was cool.
It.
I love
at,
that.
At our table. And then it just snowballed, you know, as we all know.
For sure. I came across the picture the day of Carol with the gold shovel breaking ground on the Mateel all those years ago.
Yeah.
How did that come about, the move to Redway?
The move to Redway. Well, since we couldn't build on the old site in Garberville because it was right, the Fireman's Hall was right next to Blue Star Gas's propane holding facility. I mean, right next door. I mean, and so Bill Stewart, who was the owner of Blue Star back then, he was really adamant about not having another building built next to his facility. He felt that was really irresponsible and all, you know, just basically had it. He didn't want the Mateel next to his facility. So, and it wasn't even the Mateel that back then, it was the Fireman's Hall and the community centers in one nut. But so there was various feelers being put out, and it was Evelyn Rusk, who lived just around the corner from down on Rusk Lane past South County Auto there. And someone got in touch with her about the property up there in Rusk Lane, and from there she was really gracious and really was wanting to sell that piece of property to the community center, to the Mateel. And so that's how it all started. And then Harold Mirisch gave us a piece of property that is over there. It's kind of like annex. It looks like it's all part of the same, but it goes down from the back gate to the upper four, the back 40 there down from the back gate to Mirisch Lane there by across from True Value. So those two people really contributed so much to us getting started and getting going. And Evelyn Rusk was an amazing woman and a real supporter. So
that's a good, I love
that's
that.
All got.
I love that we have all this knowledge right at our fingertips. I don't want to interrupt, but I know that Lauren is about to pop in. She's going to give a report about this fire that is happening in town right now, or, you know, right outside of town. And, you know, I'm going to say less than a minute, she's going to be breaking in. So let's get ready for that. And maybe I'm going to just give some, like, straight info when we get back. And then if people want to call in, they can call in with any questions for us. It's 923-3911. So that is open, you know, if you got some questions for us. I'll also give out some details when we come back, you know, about ticket prices and all that good stuff that you want to know. Excuse me. And yeah, we still have tickets, but we are selling out of some things. But we do have tickets for $299. We did not raise the price, when July started. Are you guys signaling me to chime in? Sorry.
No, yeah, you're good.
We're good. Okay. Well, anyway, so yeah, we still have tickets at $2.99, which can be purchased online at reggaeontheriver.com. You can also purchase them in the office if you want to come in and do that in person. You will be able to purchase them at the gate if we don't sell out. The price will go up at the gate to $3.49. But so that you should get them in advance, you know, just to make sure that you don't miss out and you get that good price. We also have parking passes for the weekend that are $40. And then if you would like to not do that, you can always take a shuttle. We are going to have some shuttles going from town, various places, and dropping off at the festival. And
can we break in for a fire update?
Yes, please do. Let us know how it is going. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all so much. This is Lauren Schmidt with the KMON Newsroom. Want to remind your listeners, we're doing top and bottom of the hour updates, so you can continue to tune in at the top and the bottom of each hour. And as information is breaking, if there's evacuation orders issued, we will go ahead and break in before that time. But I do want to let listeners know, in case you're just tuning in, that there is a vegetation fire, coined the Point Fire, burning just a couple miles up Alder Point Road, originating from Quarry Road just above the switchbacks. The fire is now believed to be about 30 acres in size. I just spoke with Cal Fire, who says it actually has potential to grow to 50 acres, which I am taking as good news, as we are already seeing other fires grow to thousands of acres across the state. But before we talk about some of those logistics, I do have Supervisor Michelle Bushnell live with us on the air. Supervisor Bushnell, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you share an overview on what you've been tracking and where we currently are with this fire?
So kind of like what you said, it's at 30 acres right now, moderate rate of spread instead of rapid. They are getting a handle on it. They do expect it to grow a little larger than that. They have about two more hours of daylight so that they can continue to use the air attack, which is their best resource. They bring in crews in from Mendocino. They have a couple cats on it. I really just want to say, you know, the volunteer fire departments as well were just quick to respond. It does sound like I'm going to break for a minute. Chief McCray just said firefighters are making good progress, still around 35 acres. So, anyways, the volunteer fire departments, you know, are right there as well, and they're fighting the fire as well. They've brought in Alder Point, Bryslyn, Garberville, Redway, you name it, they're up there. So I did get an update from Sheriff Hansel that they are evacuating. If you go on to the chart, it's going to be 220B, which is that upper lower sawmill area, down to the Wallen Road area. The Alder Point Road is closed, top and bottom. And then the 220A, which is the Garberville area, is on evacuation warning. Yes. I suspect that they'll be upgrading that within an hour. So I think we'll probably be back. You'll be reporting again at the top of the hour, so we should have more information. They are reporting some structures, but unknown structures at this time. Chief McCray, of course, structures and life are top priority right now for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, this fire began just before 6 p.m. again on Quarry Road, just a few miles up Alder Point Road by the switchbacks. Michelle, just so you know, I'm currently on protect.genesis.com, the Zone Haven Aware website mm-hmm. that Humboldt County uses. And those zones are currently not showing as under evacuation warning or order. But folks, I know on the KMUD News Facebook page, we circled and posted where those zones are, which essentially are just to the east of Garberville. Sheriff Hansel texted us a little while ago and stated that he does not believe that Garberville itself is currently under threat, but the eastern zones, again, that's E22B, E22A. Even if these zones aren't currently showing, you can still see them again at protect.genesis.com. That's G-E-N-A-S-Y-S, protect.genesis.com. Oh, and as I said that, it literally just came online. So now at that website, you can see that HUM-E-220-B is under a mandatory evacuation order. Michelle, even before this was happening, there were evacuations already happening in place. I know the sheriff's office is in charge of that. You know, they're in at the county seat up north, and I think there were some other kind of CAL FIRE cooperation with evacuations. Can you talk about where we currently are seeing evacuations, even if they aren't showing up on this protect.genesis map?
Sure. So Lower Sawmill Road, which is about half a mile to a mile up from where the fire started, what they call the ranch house area, which is right across from the Lower Sawmill, down over the hill, which is the backside of Wallen Road. As you drive into Wallen and go towards the back, there's some homes back there with, you know, they have some acreage on them. And so the fire has come down that hill there and into that residential area. I'm not hearing of any homes lost yet there, but I haven't gotten a an update, and it's happening as we're speaking, so we won't know until a little later. But so those areas in there. Now, I want to remind people, if you're evacuating from those upper areas, you're going to have to evacuate up the Alder Point Road towards Alder Point, and you won't be able to come down, of course, because the fire is there. And then they have closed the Alder Point Road at the bottom of the Alder Point Road, down by the county yard. So you're not able to get into the Wallen subdivision or Arthur Road there.
Absolutely. At this point, do you have a ballpark of how many Southern Humboldt residents have been evacuated in again, Lower Sawmill area?
I would say that close to 50 residents there. 25 to 50 residents. It's a, you know, not a very populated area, but the Wallen Road is more heavily populated, which they are. They did do an evacuation for Wallen Road, even though the fire seems to be kind of burning towards the backside, just in anticipation. And they've activated the EOC and also have Red Cross coming down at, you know, so people have a place to go. And the heat, you know, is just horrendous. And with the elderly, you know, the population too, we want to make sure that they're, you know, in air conditioning and safe. And so that's going to require places for people to be.
Absolutely. And we actually spoke with a KMUD elder who lives on Wallen Road, who said firefighters showed up on their door and told them to leave.
Yep.
So Wallen Road is also being evacuated. Again, this is not necessarily official yet from the sheriff's office, aside from E22B. Sheriff Hansel actually just texted me the photo of that, which again is like Arthur Road, portions of Alder Point Road, and Wallen Road. We're seeing that now. And again, this is due to the Point Fire, and it is an immediate evacuation order for Zone HUM E220-B, which again is north of Alder Point Road, Timber Lane, south of Anita Drive, east of Highway 101, and west of Wallen Road. They said there is an immediate threat to life and it is a lawful order to leave. We're going to continue to stay on this, but the last size we got, Supervisor Bushnell, was about 30 acres in size, and CAL FIRE is saying it has a potential to grow to 50 acres, which I'll say is a better than 1,000 acres.
Yep.
And it is unclear if there were structures lost, homes lost. We do know that the original call came out as a structure fire into the vegetation. As you mentioned, CAL FIRE and our wonderful volunteer firefighters have been hitting it hard. Everyone at Redway, Garberville, Alder Point Fire, doing really great work there. And the fire did jump on both sides of Alder Point Road right there again, above the switchbacks, kind of at that first construction zone where folks have been stopping for that stoplight. So that is the latest. There is an evacuation order officially now by the Sheriff's Office. CAL FIRE and others are on scene trying to do some structure defense and prepare others to leave. We're going to continue to share updates, but we do know that they believe they'll have it contained at 50 acres. The fire is now 35 acres and that there is no immediate threat to the town of Garberville. But folks on Lower Sawmill and Wallen should evacuate immediately.
Yep. Thank okay, you. Thanks, Lauren. Thanks, we'll check in again.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we'll get back to the Mateel now.
Wow, well, I hope everybody is okay. Doing.
Yeah. That's frightening news there.
Yes, it really is. It's such a real danger out here, and it's always puts you in check, you know, to be, you know, think about your being prepared and also be, you know, where are your loved ones and are they prepared and always.
Yeah, I was just working up Wallen Road last week or the last 2 weeks, just right opposite the fire. So
wow, yeah, I just texted my friend who lives over on Wallen, so sounds like we have the really awesome crews, so we're really lucky about all of our fire crews, volunteer, and everything. So thank you to them, to the all the people out keeping us safe right now. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So I'm going to switch it up and get back to reggae. I just want to talk about some tickets a little more because there was some more stuff I didn't say because I wasn't looking at my sheet. So I have it now. And I just want to, I talked about the $2.99 tickets. Those are 3-day tickets that get you into the whole festival from Friday morning at 9 a.m. You camp all 3 nights and you leave Monday. We also have 2-day tickets. Some of you work on Friday. You don't want to have to come the whole 3 days. Or you can't get off work. We understand. So we are offering 2-day tickets. Those are $2.49. And then we'll also have single day passes. Maybe you just want to come for the 1 day. Camping isn't, you know, your thing. We have something for everyone to bring the whole family down and just make it work for whatever works for your schedule. And you can go on to reggaeontheriver.com and see all of that information. There's so many different pages to look through of information, of the ticket information, add-ons, and you know, just any questions. There's a great FAQ page where they've really thought of everything and put it on there. So, you know, really get on that website and check it out. You can always call the office and talk to Elena if you're more of a person-to-person thing. She's really busy though, guys. Yeah. But she's great. So you can always call the office for that. But yeah, so we're really excited. I'm so excited that I think we should maybe play a song from one of our artists that we are going to have. Maybe that would be a good idea. What do you think?
I like it.
Sounds good. What are you going to play?
What about some Sister Nancy? She has been a favorite of mine, like since I was in high school, which was a lot longer ago than you think. But so that would be really fun if we want to get that queued up. She's going to be playing. Let's see if I can see what day she's going to be playing. Wouldn't that be exciting?
She is going to be playing on Sunday.
Look at that. Yeah, I think Sunday might be my favorite day. It's really hard to pick. It's really hard.
So Nancy has... Bam Bam is one of the most remixed and one of the most remixed reggae songs in history. And I've been a reggae DJ for 20 years. And thanks to Mr. Bruno and the whole Mateel family, you know, that was what gave me my inspiration. I actually bought my sound system to go do a renegade party on the rocks at reggae 20 years ago this year.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought it.
So you were one of those guys.
I was that guy, man.
And look at you now.
That's right, man. You know, and I was probably 10 years before that was my first reggae, you know. So it's, and here we are full circle. But back to Sister Nancy, we're super lucky to get her. She's finally getting the money she deserves because she didn't get royalties for this song, Bam Bam, which is basically the biggest song in reggae history, the most recognizable. As soon as those first two notes hit from her hit song, Bam Bam, everybody in the world knows it. Even if you don't know reggae music, if you know electronic music, if you know country music, if you know jazz, you know that this is a huge reggae tune.
Yeah, it's so ubiquitous for sure.
After that intro, Christy, drop the song.
Yeah. Ooh, I wish I'm not the dropper of the music, but I think it was on the little different side, different fashion.
Tell me, say one thing, Nancy, if you understand. One thing, Nancy, if you understand. What make them talk about me ambition? Say what make who them talk about me ambition? Come and say some of them ask me where me get it from. Tell some of them ask me where me get it from. I told them, no, it's from creation. I told them, no, it's from creation. Bam, bam, ayo, what a bam.
This great vendors, like it's great. It's going to be so perfect, and really hope that every single one of you listening has a ticket already or is going to. Oh, I think we might be almost ready for our phone here.
We've got somebody on the phone.
Oh, we have a caller. Great.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Babs. It's Babette.
Oh, hi, Babette. Babette is our fellow board member.
Oh, and Mira. Mira says
and
hi.
And Mira, wonderful. We love having the whole family on the radio. It's wonderful. It's a family event, right? It's a family affair.
Right. Mira, that's right. Mira will be there. Mira will be helping me at the rehydration station.
Baba.
Baba, yes. Baba will be doing the rehydration station. I'm just sitting here listening to this great show you guys are doing. And I want to thank you for being there and doing that. And you know, points that John brought up, you know, the history of the Mateel and reggae being a fundraiser. It is still a fundraiser for the Mateel Community Center, very much so as a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really need the community support. We've got huge community support on the sponsorships. I'm just blown away by so many people that say, heck yeah, we want to help out. So we need the community to step up and pick up some tickets and, you know, buy your friends Christmas presents early. Have them go to Reggae on the River, you know,
Great idea.
You know. It's supporting, it's a good cause. It's supporting your community center that we is vital to our community, I believe. I mean, my daughter grew up there. Now Mira's growing up there. I just don't, yeah, I can't impress enough about how important it is to have community support behind this wonderful show. And,
yes.
You know, we throw a good party. We do.
We really do. I've been to a few parties.
You nailed that down.
Yeah, this is a pretty good one.
Yep, we got a bunch of awesome volunteers that are helping and a bunch of people supporting us. Thank you so much, Leo, for all you're doing. Heck, yeah, we couldn't do this without you.
For sure.
And I can't wait to see everybody there.
You know, for me personally, and it's not just me, it's when I say me, I mean like my whole community down here in Northern Mendel. You know, when we went to these Mateel shows as kids, you know, there was Steel Pulse, Black Uhuru, the list goes on and on and on. I went to 52 shows or something before I was 18 years old, you know, and they're all reggae shows. And so that community raised me and raised so many others. And I'm just blessed with the opportunity to try and help give back because I'm aware that, you know, this is my job now. This is my, we all hope it does well. I hope it does well financially. So, you know, my family can eat, but it's not just my family. It's the Mateel. I'm aware of what the Mateel does for their community, you know, and what they've done for the last 35 or 40 years for their community is they've fed it. They have a place for people to dance, to express themselves, to be artistic. You know, it's so rare to have a place like this. I mean, you guys are completely blessed because there is not many towns in California or the United States that have put on massive festivals, support the community with a town that has like 1,000 or 2,000 people in it. It's extremely unheard of, you know?
Yep.
And,
yep.
Yeah.
We should never take it for granted. I came
Absolutely.
From a big city. I grew up in L.A., and, you know, I was lost in that crowd, and I came up here. This SoHum is my home, and always and forever will first and foremost be my home. And to have a place where you can be immersed in culture, either be it the culture or experience the culture, you can't put a price on it.
For sure. It's a special thing. You know? And it's not just the community center. Obviously, that's the main goal here is we keep the doors open and keep doing what the Mateel can do for everybody. But I thought I knew for after going for whatever, 30 years, I think, to Reggae on the River, 25 years minus years, it didn't happen. But, you know, I came to be aware of just how many people eat off the plate of reggae, right? It's not just just the Mateel, which literally actually feeds people. It's all of the vendors, all the
talking
people.
Talking to the two.
Yes, right? You guys know what's up. I mean, it's like so many people put money in their pockets and put food on their plate and feed their families off this festival. And people, you just need to come out and support it if you want to see this continue in your community.
Yeah, or even have a center in your community. But yeah, even the food vendors all have to pick a nonprofit in the area. And so I'm on the board. In fact, I just got off a board meeting with Show. We will be running a shuttle, and we are also benefiting from one of the food vendors that will be serving at Reggae on the River. So it's huge for us.
Yeah,
as a nonprofit. So,
not only is it so good for everybody, it's fun.
I'm going to sign off in case somebody else wants to call. Love you guys. See you soon.
Thanks, Babette. Thank you. Well, I think she brings up a great point that we have a lot of great sponsors giving us support, but we do, you know, we're creating this amazing event, and we really do need the community to come attend this event now so that we can continue to do these kinds of things and continue to serve the community. We do have, I just want to get in a few little things before we get sidetracked and run out of time. But the Mateel does a lot of things for the community that maybe you don't know about. We have a lot of hall rentals, both public and private shows, like concerts, art openings, community gatherings, meetings, weddings, memorials, graduations, baby showers, and birthdays. If any of those things seem like something you want to know more information about, you can contact Elena. Remember Elena, she's great. You can contact her at office@mateel.org, or you can call the office at 923-3368. If you want to check out our social media and see, you know, you just want to maybe give us a follow on there, and then you can just be kept abreast of all of the things that are going on, any contests that might be going to win free tickets, you know, things like that. Well, of course, there's our website at mateel.org. That's easy to remember. But we also have a Facebook page. We have Instagram. We have a YouTube, which I hear all the kids are into these days again. We also have our reggaeontheriver.com. You can go there and find out all information about Reggae on the River, including tickets. Like I said, we have those for $2.99 for the 3-day pass, $2.49 for the 2-day pass. There's also single day passes. So check all that information out. And you can also go to Reggae on the River on Instagram or YouTube as well. Oh, hi. Rufio wants to come say hello and talk about reggae.
Also discounted tickets for locals.
And we have, that's right. I almost forgot to mention that we do have discount tickets for locals. And what was that price again, Leo? Remind me.
$2.49 at the Mateel office.
$2.49. That's right. That is the Rude Boy special, right? We're keeping that price for the locals. So come on into the office and get you some local passes. So that's all. That's all my need to say stuff. So we can get back to our chit chatting. I hate to be so formal.
Yeah.
Hey Johnny, what's one or two shows or artists that like stick out in your head over the years? That is like an act or a moment that really seems special to you at Reggae on the River?
Well, there's been so many artists over the years, but of course for me, and I'm kind of stuck. Well, I'm not stuck, but Third World, when they had their, you know, Bunny Ruggs and everybody was, it was the original, and Billy Stewart and William Stewart was the drummer, and Jarrett. They were all there, and that was their first performance at Reggae on the River, and it stood out in my mind as one of the things. And you know, of course, I mean, there's been, like I said, there's been so many artists, and it's hard to remember which one liked the best or stood out in my mind, because there were all moments where they all, you know, just brought the house down, and those things will always stick in my mind. And so, and you know, so many of the older, you know, I mean, the, you know, founders of reggae played numerous times at Reggae on the River over the years, you know, and for sure. You know, they were respected, and they respected Reggae on the River, because, like we were talking earlier, how Reggae on the River showcased so many artists that had never been, you know, exposed in those early years, you know, and it gave them an in into the reggae scene, and the United States. So, yeah.
Totally, man. Yeah, I mean, some things that stick out for me when it's also like to a certain degree, you can be so much more influential when you're younger, right? I remember when I was young and seeing Israel Vibrations for the first time, and all of the three artists with all of the three artists with their crutches, they can barely walk, you know. But then when the energy hits them, and the vibes start flowing, and then energy starts.